Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.
Hello! Hello, oh, hi. Hello. Oh, this is exciting. G'day, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm great. We're at your house around your kitchen table.
Welcome. Welcome to the mansion. We're down. This is the bottom of 16 stories.
Wow. That ABC grant has really kicked in early.
I actually just live at the ABC. This is the bottom floor of the ABC. I
want to say a big thank you to our new Patreon supporter, Andrew Carr. This week, we gained a Patreon supporter, but lost 12. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
Churn. It's a lot of churn. Huh, a lot of churn going on.
RIP. Yeah.
But a big thank you to Australian Ethical, who has jumped on board once again as our sponsor for the next 9 weeks. Thank you, Australian Ethical.
Well, you couldn't get Hancock Prospecting. But the big dollar from the ethics community really kicked in when you needed it most.
Soon, all of the previous 10 years of Irrational Fears are going to be heading to the Patreon only or Apple subscriptions.
Ooh.
You know, the old episodes from this year are going to be kicking around. But, you know, for the previous 9 years.
Are you going to put up the one where you were in blackface? Because... We're going to do the hey years.
Yes. Thank you to all those who can imagine what it would be like to have blackface on a podcast that's going behind the paywall. But there is going to be some serious cutting edge comedy from 2013 that if you want, you're going to have to pay for. So you have to become a member there. We had some good Kevin Rudd jokes, I believe. Yeah. And Chris Taylor had some good Super League jokes.
I had a very tight 2 minutes on Super League.
Well, you're talking about the Super League again today, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still in the news.
We're recording this on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
A rational fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dum, and Section 40. A rational fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, after being dumped by Adidas for making anti-Semitic comments, Kanye West announces a new line of ugly sandals in collaboration with Hugo Boss. And Elon Musk will finally take the keys to Twitter, promising the long-awaited features that users have been demanding, such as the ability to read Donald Trump's tweets. And the ABC loses the television rights to Doctor Who to Disney+. The underfunded public broadcaster has commissioned a new series to make up for the loss of Doctor Who called... Intern where? Sorry.
Oh, wow. Did you lose faith in your own joke halfway through?
That's true. It was really good in my head.
Are you
I could just see that as you were reading ahead and we're like, oh, fuck.
I've been just on that story. I mean, it's been devastating news. But the good news is the ABC has maintained the rights to Whovians. So they have hung on to the gold.
It is the 27th of October, and this is the podcast with fewer manners than James Corden. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Half of you are excited.
Hey, welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former cast member of Friends, Dan Illich, and this is the podcast that takes the news and adds a bit of ice magic. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. He's been avoiding the news to make his comedy of late, preferring to kind of foist stories from his own head upon the unsuspecting public. It's comedy writer Chris Taylor. Welcome, Chris.
It's great to be back on the podcast. Thank you.
How's the world of fiction treating you?
It's almost as fictional as real world politics. It's very paradoxical. You retreat from, you know, having done all like topical, satirical, news-based comedy for years, you think, that's got a shelf life. I'm going to retreat to the world of fiction. And it's really more real in the fictional world than it is in the news world right now.
And we thought Australia has lost her forever to the hustle and bustle of New York City, but she's now returned to our boring shores. It's podcaster Wendy Zukerman. Welcome, Wendy.
Thanks for having me.
Why are you coming back to Australia?
Oh, well, the ratio of kangaroos to guns was just, it was just a bit out of whack where I was, so I thought better come
just
home.
Just let me check, more kangaroos in New York?
And he may have his own TV show on the ABC, but he's not above allowing us to sit in his kitchen to record our little podcast. It's TV's Lewis Hobber.
That's right, yes. This is the last podcast I'll be doing. I've come to say goodbye and I'm off to the silver screen. I'm off to the glimmering lights of one episode of television on the ABC.
And when this goes to air, that's tonight.
Yes. Tonight, 8:30 p.m. on ABC Plus.
I reckon that's genius because, you know, look, there's so much scrutiny of TV, especially ABC at the moment. Like, I think, you know, the Frank Kelly show, frankly, everyone's going, whoa, I'd only give that three episodes. Your genius is to only promise one and get out.
Yeah.
There'll be no Twitter demands for less of this.
You're
delivering the least possible.
Yeah. Chris, you've had many TV shows of your own. Like, do you have any advice for Lewis with his one episode?
Don't read the tweets.
It's not like it was when, because, you know, Dan and I were on television. You were on, obviously you were on for a long time before we were. And then when we were on Hungry Beast, Twitter was at its toxic peak, I think. I don't actually think it's that bad for television anymore.
No, because there's no viewers anymore.
I've actually
done shows recently that I won't name. The reason I knew they weren't going well wasn't because there was an avalanche of sort of negative tweets. It was just no tweets.
No one was complaining about it.
No, it was just like so bad that people, it was almost like kicking a dog when it's already dead. Even the world of Twitter thought, no, it'd be just cruel to tweet about
this. I'm so depressed right now after watching this. I can't even look at Twitter.
So it was worse than Emily in Paris.
Coming up later, with energy prices set to explode, we talk with Amber's CEO, Dan Adams, about what else we can burn to keep the aircon on this summer. But first, a message from this week's sponsor.
Oh, well, here we are. Let's increase some interest rates. Yes.
Audible and the Department of Treasury present a new way to deliver the budget speech. Say goodbye to uncharming charmers.
Is there a business case for this?
Say hello to the economic sexiness of Robbie McGregor from Getting Wages Moving.
Madam Speaker, we want to see growth in all the right areas. Is that inflation I see in your hip pocket, or are you just increasing your pay packet?
To the ins and outs of making more taxpayers.
More Australians will be able to afford to make more babies than ever before. It's all about participation and productivity, if you know what I mean.
To having a place to live.
The Help to Buy scheme allows up to 40,000 eligible Australians to own their own home with a lower deposit and smaller mortgage. Oh, yeah, smaller mortgage. Oh, size does matter.
Robbie McGregor reads the 2022 budget, only on Audible. Subscribe now and get a bonus episode of Robbie saying the words fiscal stimulus for 45 minutes straight.
Fiscal stimulus. Fiscal stimulus. Fiscal stimulus.
Fiscal stimulus.
Fiscal stimulus. Fisting what?
Now, I promise you that's the last time we'll do that joke.
I don't believe it. I absolutely don't believe it. As it was coming, as it got to the fiscal stimulus bit, I'm like, I think this is an old sketch. And I was like, oh, no, it's just Dan doing what he does best, recycling. Right.
This week's first fib. Now, before we jump into the first fib, I just want to play a little game of word association. I'll say something and you folks jump in with the first thing that comes to mind. Mm. When I say the words
fiscal
cruise. When I say the words cruise liner.
Ooh.
Gastro.
Yeah, close. It's good.
Murder.
Yeah, also very good.
Boomers.
Yeah, fantastic.
Shuffleboard.
Coits.
Coronavirus.
Yes, coronavirus. Yes, cruise liners. Vehicles built to the exact specifications to help boomers get COVID and also wealth redistribution, if that's what you want to call it. There's a cruise liner going up down the west coast of Australia. And surprise, surprise, crew and passengers have a
Princess
bunch of...
Pathogen, I think they called it. I thought that was a giveaway. Yeah.
I did have here the...
Not the most toxic monarch.
Very good.
I did have the COVID princess, but, you know, that's so obvious.
I think you can just get it next to the mashed potatoes in the buffet. Like, there's just a COVID scoop.
It's docked in Broome, and it's gonna be docking up and down the west coast of Western Australia.
Well, that's good, because they sort of missed out on COVID, didn't they?
That's true.
They were the one state, thanks to Matt McGowan's, you know, quite officious border closures, that never really got to enjoy the, you know, the party that was COVID. So thank God the P&O cruise company is bringing it to them.
Well, now Mark McGowan can do Stop the Boats.
Finally. Oh,
really keep... Perth in the 10 years behind category.
You'd have to get the patent or the copyright patent from ScoMo.
Like, that's
when
true,
ScoMo left, did he keep his little trophy?
Maybe it could be Stop the Ships. Like, just enough of a copyright difference.
Yeah. Wendy, I've got a question for you regarding this. Like, have we learnt about COVID and cruise lines? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, it's if you could create a perfect cesspool. Like, if you were COVID, you'd just be like, fuck yes, I've got it.
Wet markets were hard. Cruise ships, piece of piss.
Right, and there's so many people. There was 2,000 people
like,
on that.
This would be like a 30-second episode of Science Versus, wouldn't it? Like,
should you go on a cruise ship?
The answer
if you're
is
afraid
no.
of COVID, no. But my favourite, I did write a list of all the, my favourite names of all the cruise ships that had gotten COVID over the last few years. Because it was a joy, I have to say, of early COVID reporting it was so scary at the beginning. And then just hearing like the Diamond Princess has, you know, and it was just like, it couldn't help but it warms your heart. But okay, so Diamond Princess, we'll remember Grand Princess, Ruby Princess, World Dream, Carnival Valor, Silver Valor, Norwegian Breakaway, Pride of America. Just this week as well in New Zealand, they just had an outbreak on one of their cruise ships, which was called Ovation of the Seas. But my favorite of all the cruise ship names. This isn't even half of them.
Ovation is so deliciously close to Omicron of the Seas. It's fantastic.
It's not a standing ovation. It's more of a lying down in a respiratory respirator kind of ovation.
Of the Seas. But then when it hit Greg Mortimer.
Oh,
Greg Mortimer's the name of the ship.
It was the name of a cruise ship, which is, you know, like it was a fella.
Someone didn't turn up to work that day. Like normally, I always think you could play a game between guess is it a drag queen or a cruise ship?
Right.
They're always called Crystal Harmony or that kind of thing. But Greg Mortimer, that's an accountant from Pimble,
right?
I love this story on the ABC website. It said Princess Cruises said that the COVID-19 outbreak was being managed effectively. How much confidence does it give you when a cruise company says, "Oh no, the outbreak is being managed effectively"?
Wow. I mean, it is one of those things where at this point it is kind of self-selecting. You know, at the start we were like, "Hey, look, we should all stay home and protect each other from COVID." At this point, if you're going on a cruise, I'm not going to say maybe you should die, but it is kind of like you are putting yourself, but you're putting your life in God's hands.
If you are a millennial trying to break into the housing market, send your parents on a cruise.
Honestly.
We're most of us are vaccinated now. Mm. If you're like, I'm quadruple vaxxed.
Right.
Could I go on a cruise with any confidence? Or even if you're quad vaxxed, and step on board anything called Princess, you're still going to get it.
I think Greg Mortimer has a different system at play. But, you know, with the new variants, you never know, the percentages, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think so. I mean, I should say, even though cruises are way funnier than when, you know, someone walks off a Boeing 747 on the QF, whatever. Actually, your chance of getting COVID is higher on a cruise ship because there's just more people on a cruise ship.
But your chance of getting anything on a cruise ship is higher.
That's right. They were cesspools even before.
I think you're the captain.
I wonder, I'd kind of be more reassured. You know, they've always got like entertainment on cruise ships. It's normally ugly Dave Gray. But if Norman Swan was the entertainer and you just sort of got lectures about then I might be tempted to go on. I'd feel a bit safer if he was the comic each night.
Yeah. Broome Council said that the 1,900 passengers are going to spend about $190,000 in Broome. So they're quite cool with it.
Is that at the hospital?
Well, I assume that's about $100 per person. That's like buying a coffee in Western Australia. So that's but that is it kind of worth it?
it? Do you think, is it worth it to the economy to have all these infected people come to your little town?
I think we've just decided we're just going to let it run. Is that right? And Christmas is just so much more fun to make fun of.
Won't someone think of the camels in Broome? I mean, I think the population of Broome is mostly camels these days. Now, there was another interesting thing. I keep looking at Wendy for fact-checking.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on Jeopardy. Am I thinking
that animals just didn't get it?
No, well, the minks, remember there was a mink outbreak.
Minks got them. Yeah, and now, zoos, gorillas and lions are getting it.
And there was a huge, what country was it that killed a bunch of minks in fear that
I'm going to guess Russia.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
It was I want to say somewhere Scandinavian, and then they were like, whoops, sorry.
Yes.
Like,
there's a lot of lovely coats going around.
That's reduced. It's got COVID, but it's reduced.
This is A Rational Fear.
Denmark has announced it will eliminate the country's entire population of farmed minks. More than 15 million will be culled.
You are listening to A Very Rational Fear.
This week's second fear, mashed potato. You know, some may lament that humans have systematically removed 70% of all animal life on Earth since the 70s, whereas others may complain that climate activists have plastered yet another artwork with common kitchen stuffs. Climate protesters in Germany have thrown runny mashed potato over a Monet worth $110 million in what seems to be the latest in the string of copycat protests. Chris, is this an effective form of protest, do you think?
Well, look, we're talking about it, but I don't know about you. I tend to sort of take in the fact they're throwing food and they're throwing it at art, and I forget what they're actually protesting. I mean, there's a lot of it, though. It's sort of, you know...
It make you go, why? And then you looked it up and then you were like, climate change. Forgot about that today.
This is a classic one, almost like all protests of late, at the extreme end, where you're sympathetic with the cause and you're a little bit puzzled by the execution. So, yeah, just to recap, there was one in Melbourne. I think it was a Picasso. Then they did the sunflowers with soup. And as you said, Dan, they did Monet with mashed potatoes. They also, someone threw spaghetti to Jackson Pollock and no one could tell the difference. It's bizarre logic, or you might say it's impeccable logic. Because if you want to express anger at oil companies, then is the obvious target 19th century artists painting such evil, toxic, problematic things as water lilies and flowers? You know, they're all saying we need to protect the planet, so let's throw shit at flowers and sunflowers.
Going down the drain,
Someone was typing in oil companies into Google and it just auto-finished oil paintings. And they were Monet.
That's the link.
There was a great protest last week where two people took in cream pies and smashed the faces of a wax statue of King Charles and Queen Consort Camilla at Madame Tussauds. And I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah,
That's comedy.
That's old school stuff.
But yeah, if you want to protest oil, you don't throw food at Picasso. You throw food at Picasso's car. Surely, isn't that the thing? Like, it seems to be just
the logic doesn't quite work for me. I love it. I'm so into this. I mean, I think we're talking about it. I think the guys who did it, they were like, "Look, we tried to have direct action, and they did try and block some actual oil distribution in the UK, and no one reported on it." And then they're like, "Let's just throw some shit at art," and all of a sudden, look.
We're all talking
about fear. We've sucked
what I want to know. We've all been to these galleries. There's, you know, those people who just sit there, and there's more of them than you need. There's and you go, what's their job? Nothing ever exciting would happen. How on earth are people charging in with bagfuls of Woolies groceries, getting past those guys on the chairs? Does something not go off in their head like a light bulb that goes, oh, the person carrying soup might not be here for a picnic? The other part of these protests always, once the food's been distributed, is the gluing. They all glue their hands to the work. Now,
not to the work, it was to the work.
Right. Well, you know, if you glued yourself to a kendo, it would probably increase its value. But now they're gluing beside it, and that's okay. I don't mind. It's sort of interesting. But I did see this week that Spencer Tunick is coming back to Sydney. He's the guy that photographs a lot of nude people in front of the Opera House. So I think this time it's Bondi Beach. Now, I'm not going to sign up to a Spencer Tunick art exhibit if I think there's any possibility whatsoever some oil protesters are going to glue themselves to my scrotum. Like, you know what I mean?
That's actually incentivised me to go.
We really might get some action on climate change.
Or just some action.
Oh, that's fantastic. It might actually be in the disclaimer you've got to sign. Spencer Tunick. You may get some sort of oil on your scrotum.
But the best part about it, I think the reason it's good is like when they were like chaining themselves to Rhodes, they were like, oh, well, you've just slowed down my trip to work.
Yes.
And people were like, well, I'm not an oil executive. I'm just a guy who's driving to work. And even though I think that that is more logical, it was kind of more annoying to people who weren't really at fault.
Yes.
Whereas with this, you're like,
whereas fucking Monet has been on the planet for far too long.
I don't think this harms anyone because often the paintings aren't harmed.
That's right. There was glass. So it's a very important point.
So the paintings aren't harmed. It gets a lot of attention and it makes things exciting if you're just a person at the gallery and you're filming this as it happens. That's a lot of clicks for your social media. That's fantastic.
But if you're a tourist, like, If you've been to these galleries in Europe or anywhere where there's these masterpieces, the sight lines are bad enough just with two. You can't see the Mona Lisa or the Water Lilies because there's always Americans with their selfie sticks. If you've then on top of every tourist got oil protesters gluing themselves to the work, your sight lines are shit.
It's impressive. I love this quote from one of them though. Just like, really, because I did have some of your thoughts, Chris, but then they were like, are you
But then
more...
research the topic.
Yeah. Realised you're an idiot.
Thought about it for more than 30 seconds. They said, one of the protesters said, are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet? And I love that. I was like, yeah. Fuck these water lilies.
I mean, false dichotomy, though. You can be like, well, do you care more about this planet or the fact that I had a terrible coffee this morning?
Also, like, Van Gogh's dead, Matisse is dead, Picasso's dead. If they damaged a Ben Quilty, I'd be pretty upset. He's still alive.
I'd like to see the artists get revenge. Not the dead ones, obviously, but let's say Quilty.
I want to see the dead ones.
Okay, the dead ones. Like, I'd like to see artists start throwing paint at food. So, like, you know, just people walking into Rockpool with, you know, two tins of Dulux and pegging it at the Wagyu and Paris Smash.
This is for OPEC splash.
Well, I mean, at least, you know, like, beef production actually does cause a lot of methane. So if you're throwing it at a steak restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you've won me over. There's a logic to that.
Irrational fear.
You've been lied to. The real danger is not global warming. It's global warming panic, the scaremongering. It seems to me that global warming fear-mongering seems to be literally driving people wild and driving them to bully the rest of us.
Irrational fear!
This week's third fear, in what was regarded as a very staid and boring budget, there's something very exciting for people who work in media, particularly around this table. The budget has brought back money to the ABC. $115 million is coming back this year. Most of it all will be spent on Lewis's moustache grooming.
And all the 15 levels of my house.
That's right, yeah.
Above this one.
Given nearly $600 million was cut from the ABC over the last 8 years, it's a welcome reprieve. $500,000 of that budget will be used to get Gen X radio station Double J on the FM frequency. Chris, you are rapidly aging into the demographic of people who watch the ABC. Is this a good use of funds?
Look, it's an interesting use of funds. It's first of all, I love the budget. It's accountancy's night of nights. It should be a week. It should be like stripped across the schedule. I'd watch it sooner than the traders.
Like the Ashes, 5 days.
Yeah, totally.
Get
totally.
Jim Chalmers up there.
Look, any money to the public broadcaster is very welcome. The specific $500,000 for Double J puzzles me because of all the things at the ABC. And I think we've all worked there in various positions over there. Of all the areas you could help the ABC, like more money for a new panel show that's not hosted by Will Anderson, cash incentives to make Australians watch Q&A again, maybe some basic charisma training for Michael Rowland. I mean, these are areas I would have prioritised, but where did they go? Money to help expand Double J into regional Australia. And if there's one thing we all know regional Australia has been crying out for its better access to John Butler and the Whitlams. Farmers are hurting, but people are demanding more Wilco feature albums.
I mean, $500,000 isn't a lot for a broadcast transmission. I worked at a radio station as a board member, and that for a community radio station, it's about $100,000 a year for transmitter.
No, but this is what cracks me up. The money specifically, the money's going on a feasibility study see if Double J can transfer to the FM band.
Right.
So just to be clear, they're not going to the FM band. They'll have to wait to the 2028 budget for that, I think. They're just spending money to see if it's feasible go to FM. So they're currently digital.
That money is just going to another government department, KPMG. Yes. That's all that. Yeah.
Double J is currently digital. They want to upgrade to analog. That's like someone on TikTok wanting to upgrade to MySpace. You know what I mean? It's like someone driving a Tesla going, I'll upgrade to a penny farthing. So it turns out apparently digital radio wasn't the future that everyone forecast. Like aside from, I think, is it Chemist Warehouse in-store radio, which still does outrate Today FM at every shift. But other than that, like digital radio has been a bit of a farce. So they're looking at the new technology of FM. We shouldn't be surprised by this because this is Albo, and Albo's throwing money at Double J. And alternative old person music is basically Albo's whole thing. That's his pet obsession.
He's looking for a lunchtime show.
This is his audition. Albo giving grants to Double J is like ScoMo giving special grants to Hillsong. Like the self-interest is very much at play. And the only thing, like, because Albo, I'm still trying to get a grip on his prime ministership. He seems like he's mostly out of the country all the time. The only time he's in the country, he's basically at midnight oil gigs or in the mosh pit at the Enmore watching Alex Lloyd. So it makes sense that Double J's on his radar. And I guess we should just be thankful that it is Double J and those sorts of bands he's giving money to, because if it was the previous guy, it'd just be giving money to April Sun in Cuba cover versions. No one wants that.
I don't know if you caught any of the budget coverage, but this is how the Today Show started and ended their conversation with the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers. So I've got the ins and the outs. Here we go.
You had to put me on after Matthew McConaughey, didn't you? Thanks very much.
Wait to see what I've got for you at the end of this interview. Then you'll feel it. Hey, and just lastly, to prove that you are a far more interesting interview than Matthew McConaughey, he can do this. Let me just show you. And now that I'm seeing it, don't worry, Treasurer.
Let him go.
I mean, unless you want to watch it. Carl wants to sing it.
Yeah, so he came on straight after Matthew McConaughey, and then at the end of the conversation they played a Matthew McConaughey clip of him stripping.
Wow.
And Jim Chalmers didn't know anything of what was going on because he can't see what's happening on today.
People say television's dumbing down, and I just don't
so
see it.
I feel so bad. I mean, never thought I'd say this for any government, but like this budget, I mean, I usually don't, you know, my ovulation doesn't spark up for any old budget. But this one had some really exciting...
Ovulation of the seas?
Yeah, exactly. But this one had some really exciting things in it, and then they're just having to contend with this poor Double J nonsense. Magic Mike, you know, it's got some exciting things.
What are you excited about, Wendy?
I think like a lot of the climate change, the moving towards like electric vehicles. I mean, you could play obviously want more, but it showed like direction, you know, for the first time in so long. It's like you can see a future where we're going to have more electric vehicles, which we need, which was really exciting. And there was some really clever stuff about like carbon capture where they didn't just say this is bullshit because it's super political, but instead they were like, look, this may have a place, but we're just not going to put it on the fucking pedestal that the Liberal Party did, but like we're not going to just like throw it down the dumpster.
I really like that because they were like, no, sorry, Chevron, we're not going to put any more money into your plant, but here are some things we do think about, which is cement and other really hard to abate emissions.
Right, like cruises. Like
and yeah, the NRMA is going to be building like a supercharger network thanks to this budget, which is amazing.
That's all quite interesting, but did you see the Matthew McConaughey?
What was he on for? What was McConaughey promoting? That's all I want to talk about.
Before we get to this week's interview, next month is the Victorian state election. Now, the Liberal Party is strongest in Victoria amongst boomers and older voters, while millennial vote for the Liberal Party has dropped to about 10 to 25%, which is kind of surprising because the Victorian Libs have been doing some really great work on TikTok, like this bit of gold here from Ringwood Liberal candidate Cynthia Watson.
I'm so nervous.
Victoria, it's about damn time we got rid of this corrupt state Labor government. Remember this November.
What?
I'll play for you again. Here
Victoria,
you go.
Here we go. It's about damn time we got rid of this corrupt state Labor government. Remember this November.
Oh, I see. It's about damn time. Jesus Christ.
Yes, a Lizzo reference.
Fantastic.
They're really into it. It's very exciting.
How many times do you think they practice the clap?
Yeah. Do you think they know about her song Everyone's Gay? I think they're a big fan of that at the Liberal Party as well.
When we come back, which super yacht should OPEC executives buy during this once-in-a-generation energy crisis? Lewis, I'm just pausing the podcast briefly to let you know some good news. I know you're having a baby. I know that there's a lot of pressures at the ABC, but thankfully you no longer have to dip into your pocket to pay for this podcast.
What? Why? Why not?
Because we've got a sponsor. Australian Ethical has come on board and they're going to help us pay for this podcast because it's quite expensive. We've got to pay for, you know, Chris Taylor's wine habit.
Are they aware that by sponsoring this podcast, they've thrown any possible claim to good ethics that they might have had away?
No, they've listened to our podcast. They like the cut of our jib, and I've looked at them carefully, and I too like the cut of their jib. They started in 1986. They've been really busy investing people's money in good things. They stay away from stuff like weapons, human trafficking, fossil fuels, tobacco, gambling, you know, all the stuff that we like to make fun of. They stay away from that.
What's left? What else is there that makes money? What are they in?
Podcasts. Linen? Podcasts make money. Media.
No one's ever lost money investing in a media organisation.
So if you are looking at your super or your financials and you're thinking, gee, I wonder if my money is doing good for the world or doing bad for the world, and you're thinking about moving your money, go check out Australian Ethical, and their website is australianethical.com.au. And we're back. You know, one of the stark realities of this budget handed down last night was that energy prices are going to pretty much explode. 20% increase this year plus a 36% increase next year. That's a 56% increase over the next couple of years. Joining us now to talk about why this is happening is the co-founder and co-CEO of Amber Electric, Dan Adams. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for joining us on Irrational Fear.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Now, why the hell are prices increasing so much, Dan? Is it really due to the war in Iraq, or is it due to
Iraq?
Sorry, Ukraine. That was a long time ago. Or is it a whole bunch?
Didn't you see that mission accomplished sign? <side? laughs>
Or is it a lot more complicated than we think, and we have time for on this podcast? Like, what? Why are energy crises going to go crazy over the next 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the problem is we are still super dependent on fossil fuels, and we need to get off them as fast as possible because lots of our power still comes from coal and gas. The sanctions against Russia mean that coal and gas prices have gone up dramatically, and that's flowing through to our power bills.
But it doesn't make sense because, like, you know, Australia is like the third largest exporter of fossil fuels. We export coal, we export gas. Like, surely our energy price, surely we should be have the cheapest energy in the world, right?
You would think so. But basically what we're doing is the previous government made some policies which basically meant that we are exporting lots of our coal and gas overseas, and there isn't enough for our own domestic supply, even though we're a massive exporter of these fossil fuels, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. I mean, one, we shouldn't be on fossil fuels at all, and two, the fact that we're actually exporting more so much that we don't have enough for ourselves is pretty wild.
Well, is there something else we can burn? I mean, we've got a lot of empty pie faces around. Can we burn those for, you know?
Another great joke from the Iraq War era. I think that's gone. I think
I've retired pie face references.
Yeah, my God. Have you had a stroke and woken up in 2012?
You'll start talking about Sizzler, sir.
Dan, what else can we burn? What else are we going to burn?
I think we need to stop burning stuff is basically the basically the solution. I mean, you can burn.
I don't
some
think that's going to work. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention. I don't think the country's going to go for it.
There's a massive nuclear reactor in the sky, a bit called the Sun, that we should probably start using.
Now, you guys at Amber, you give customers access to the wholesale price, which is kind of your whole business model. Given that the wholesale price is going to go gangbusters over the next 2 years, are your customers scared?
So lots of our customers have batteries. And so basically what that means is we're automating their batteries to export into the grid when those prices are spiking. And so they're earning the same prices as those big coal and gas generators are earning for their exports, which is pretty cool. It means that households are using solar panel from their roof to compete directly with large coal and gas generators. And while big coal and gas generators are charging, 100 times normal prices for their power during a few hours some of the time, our customers are earning those 100 times normal prices, which
like
is
an Uber surge,
so they're actually pretty happy about that.
That's so cool. Imagine that. Like, imagine.
So I could become like a Saudi oil baron with just the cost of one Tesla battery.
Unfortunately, you can't get much solar in a basement.
Yeah. My 16th floor actually has lots of roof.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it basically means that as an individual household, you can go in and compete with the big coal and gas generators and beat them at their own game. And rather than making off with the big profits, you can do so yourself for basically getting paid to support the renewable transition.
Wendy mentioned that the climate industry or the renewable industry did pretty well in the budget. Were you happy with the budget that got brought down yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some positive steps forward there around support for electric vehicles and, the Rewiring Australia, the $20 billion being invested there over the next 10 years. So there's some big steps forward there and we're starting to move in the right direction. And, the only way to get out of this energy crisis and this climate crisis that we're facing is to invest in renewables as fast as we can. So it's exciting to see the world starting and Australia starting to move in the right direction. But obviously, I'd love to see more.
Dan, I saw that in the Australian Financial Review this week that you got $13 million from NRMA raising some money there. That's pretty good. Are you going to be burning that to keep cool this summer?
How many Double J transitions? How much can you do with that?
You can do a feasibility study of Double J.
I think that's 4,000 Js.
It wasn't actually all from NRMA. It was from some of our other investors as well. But it's exciting because, at the moment we're automating household batteries, but where we are going is start to help people automate electric vehicles as well. So they can charge in the middle of the day when there's lots of cheap solar in the grid. And then in the future, we'll be able to actually take power out of your electric vehicle, feed it into the grid and displace fossil fuels with renewable power sitting in your EV. And so we're pretty excited about that. And obviously a lot of NRMA's members are going to have EVs in the future. So we're excited to work with them to make that happen.
So you can like charge your car when electricity is cheap and then like plug your car into the grid when electricity is expensive and pay off your car.
It's like if you could convince people who love Bitcoin to get in on this sort of like, and you're like, hey, you got to buy low, sell high.
Yeah. No, well, I think those people are into this. You've got to convince Matt Canavan to get into it. That's what you've got to convince.
Sometimes there's so much renewables in the grid that the power price is actually negative. So we'll pay you to charge your electric vehicle from surplus renewable power. Wow. And then in the evening, we'll pay you again to displace fossil fuels out of the grid.
Oh, my God.
Wow. This feels like a scam. And I want in. Yeah.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for joining us on Irrational Fear. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. Well, that is it for the show. Big thank you to Wendy, Chris, Lewis. Let's do the plugs. What have you got to plug? Let's start with you, Dan. What do you want to plug first?
Well, if you've got a battery, we'd love to have you on board with Amber. So
Dan
can get,
wants you to plug in the battery. That's what he wants you to plug. Wendy, do you want to plug anything?
I guess the podcast.
Yeah.
Science Versus.
Yeah.
Go have a listen.
Yeah, on Spotify.
I don't know why you're so coy. It's a really good podcast.
It is. Yeah.
It's like one it's of the successful.
It's one of the biggest podcasts in the world.
Yeah.
I'd also like to plug Wendy's podcast. Science Versus, get into it.
Lewis, how about anything coming soon to ABC?
Yes, Dan, I've got a little show. I've got a television show. It is, by the time this podcast goes out, it will be out now. You can watch it on ABC iView. It's called Australia's Best Competition, with me and my friend Michael Hing. We enter competitions all around the country to decide which one is Australia's best.
Big thank you to Road Mics, Australian Ethical, our Patreon supporters, Jacob Round, and everyone who listens. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Hey, Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.